Accession number 20118, Reel 2.
Mr. Kelly, Reel 2.
Well, we got off the ship by landing barge across to our side, the canal zone side, and then into Tel El Kebir. But from then, I got put into another camp. Now, I don't know what this camp was supposed to be, because the following morning, after getting back into Tel El Kebir by BOD, a sergeant says to me, right, pick up your kit and go to our camp. And I said, why? Don't ask me, he said. So I thought, well, our camp, that's MT section. Anyway, I had to do it, so I went off and I got to our camp and I reported to the orderly office. Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. I said, what's the idea of sending me here? Oh, he said, we just found out that you're an MT storeman. I said, what? I've been out here nearly two years, anyway. And he said, well, he said, records. They got it all wrong. Well, I said, I've been out here almost 2 years. And I said, you've just found out that I'm an MT storeman and I've only got a couple of months more to do. Well, what's the game, you know? And, it's no game. If we'd have known, you'd have been here at first. Well, I didn't like it one bit, that.
So,
well, because I'd been moved from a job I was doing to this particular place. There was a guard room there. And I knew the sergeant of that guard room because he had been a sergeant in Derby when I had got 28 days detention for being naughty. What I'd done then was I'd put in for a transfer because I didn't want the ordnance. When I got to know what ordnance did, I didn't want to be in the ordnance because there was no drills in ordnance, there was no route marches, there was no weapon training, there was no PT, there was nothing except saluting, parading for work, and wearing a uniform. As far as the army was concerned, there was nothing of the army in it. All we were doing was working. It was like getting up in the morning and just walking into a depot and being there for 8 hours. Well, because of the invasion, we had to do shifts. See, a night shift and a day shift. We never did any guards. When I first went to Derby, I was issued from Durham, after I'd left Herrickwood back to Durham, I was issued with a rifle, 50 rounds of ammunition, and my full kit. And when I got to Derby, I reported into the guard room, and I was sent to this particular camp. I can't remember which camp it was. Oh yes, we're expecting you. And he said, go over there to that spider, which was a hut, a section of huts, and pick a bed out of that number hut. And then come back over here for the remainder of documentation. So I says, okay. Oh, he says, but before you go, leave that, because you don't want it. And I says, what, me, what? He says, the rifle. I said, but this is mine, I've signed for this. Well, he said, you don't need it here. And I thought, well, it's a funny place, is this? You don't need me rifle, and I'm supposed to be man's best friend sort of thing in the army. So I said, okay, when I left it, I took the bayonet off my belt and I put it on the rifle. He gave me a little note, ticket, you know, and I filled it in. I left it. Well, I still got 50 live rounds of ammunition, but it didn't really matter. And he put me in charge of a little party to take them to this MI room. I didn't know where the MI room was. It was just a matter of old soldiers, you see, because the lads that were there, when I went there, they'd just come in to the ordnance and had only done a 6 weeks training. Well, I'd done 6 months of it before I went into the ordnance. And so a senior soldier take me when to the MI room for the, what they call an FFI. That was free from infection, you see. That's what they termed it as in the army. I took them and I thought, oh, I'm going to be all right here. I'm going to have tapes up in a minute or two. And it went all right from then, but I still had this ammunition. And I thought, I won't say nothing. I'll wait until he asks me for it. But I only had about 3 months, and I still had it. And eventually, one day, I says to him, hey, what am I going to do about these bullets? You know, he said, what bullets? I said, this rounds of ammunition that I've got. Oh, where? I said, I've got them in my kit in the hut. Oh, he said, bring them over here quickly. I thought, good God, what's up with them? And I took them over to him, and we said, oh. He said, you're the first person that has been here with a rifle and ammunition. He said, so I don't know how it's gone wrong. I said, well, if you look on that form, that ABC, I can't remember what the form was, but I said, you'll find out that it's got it on it. And this corporal had not noticed it. He hadn't even looked anyway. So I gave him that, and we got pally, you see, me and this NCO. But as I say, I was happy in a way, but I wanted to get out of ordnance. I wanted to get into something different, anything except that job that I was doing. And I applied for transfers. No luck. And 4 times I applied, and there's still no chance. So I thought, well, if they won't let me out of this unit by request, I'll make them get me out by acting the goat. And I went into Derby instead of going on parade that particular morning. And I stayed in Derby till evening, and I came back, went into my bed. The next morning I had my breakfast and I went out again. And I did that for 3 whole days. And I got fed up with it, to be quite honest. Well, no, I'm not getting anywhere with this, so I come back. And they eventually caught me in the camp and put me on close arrest and blah, 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 blah. Sent me to Chorley Detention Barracks for 28 days. And so that was me. I was made then. Everybody knew me, sort of thing.
How long did you have to serve at the detention barracks?
Well, I got 28 days, and the normal sentence, that is the minimum sentence to go to a detention barracks, and you get 4 days off for good behaviour. But of course, being me, I lost 2 days, which meant I did 26 days out of my 28. And, you know, I enjoyed every day in that place, although we were locked up, because I was doing the things that I'd been doing before, you know, in my first 6 months training. And it was that I missed more than anything.
What kind of things?
You know, PT, drills, route marches round and round the garrison, but a lot of the people liked it. Oh, cushy number, this, you know. Well, it wasn't my style. I didn't want cushy number. I wanted something.
At the RAOC, you mean?
Well, the ROC, what a cushy number anyway. But I wanted something more military, soldierly. Anyway, as I said, that was in Derby. But this, when they moved me to this camp in Tel El Kebir, I knew the sergeant of the guard room, and that's what said, oh, I don't want to be in this camp, you know. Oh, but you're a storm, and so you've got to be in the camp. So for a while I was all right, and then I thought, no, I'm going, I'm upping. You know, I was intending taking a bunk, which I eventually did. But before I got out, I thought, well, how am I going to get out of this garrison when there's barbed wire around it? And there's all this guards at one side. There's desert on the other side. And I can't just walk out of the gate, otherwise I'd get stopped and be slung right into the guard room. So I'm walking along the path towards the main gate, and someone shouts, where are you going? And I thought, and there's a big wagon that pulls up at the side of me, and one of these lads looked out. He said, where are you going? I said, Ismailia. He said, get it back, and we'll drop you off down the road. Well, they didn't know I was just going off on my own. And anyway, I got in the back of this truck, and I got out of the garrison, and they dropped me on the main road somewhere between Tel El Kebir and Ismailia. Anyway, they said, you'll get a lift from me. And I got a lift in a, I can't remember what they're called, I think they call them champs, these vehicles. And this chap stopped. He said, where are you going? Right, educated voice. I said, Ismailia, up in, he says. And I got in the back, and there's all these, there's about 9 other blokes in there, all with white shirts on. And they were all refined, you know. They were actually officers that were going to Mawaska Garrison in Tel El Kebir, in Ismailia, to play cricket. Well, of course, they said to me, where are you from? You know, and I said, York. I didn't know whether they meant what garrison or what. But I said, York. Oh, and then they started saying, oh, Truman, and not Truman, those cricketers that were Hilton and so on. And because I was a Yorkshireman, I thought I knew a lot about cricket, which I didn't. Oh, yes, I said, yeah, yeah. And they started drinking this whiskey, and they brought a bottle, and it was about that size. And I said, here, you know, I'm drinking away this whiskey. And eventually we got to Ismailia, and this officer, like, after I'd fallen out of the back of it, I didn't climb out, I couldn't climb out, I fell out because I'd drunk that much of this whiskey. And I'm standing there, you know, backwards and forwards, and he says, if you're here at so-and-so time tomorrow, we'll take you back to where we picked me up. And I said, oh, yeah. Well, no intentions of going back. My only intention was to get as far away from that camp as I possibly could. I hung about Ismailia for about 4 days because I'd just been paid and the money was, well, you could get things from coppers out there. And I got a place that I had been in when I was on leave there, you see. So with being on leave there, I knew the Ismailia itself, and I could go into this place that I'd been in for the week's leave I'd had, and I got a bed for 2 nights. Well, the next night, my intentions were of getting a canoe or a boat and going out into the canal and jumping a ship. It probably seems wild, but that's what my intentions were. But I got, again, fed up about it, you know, what you're doing, why don't you just settle down and that's it. So I thought, well, I'm broke now, there's nothing I can do, only give myself up to the military police at Moasco. But anyway, I decided to walk to Moasco, or the way that Moasco was, and I saw two servicemen and two girls, two ATS girls. And I says to them, what are you waiting for? A bus light to Moasco? And they said, oh no, we're going to Tel El Kebir. Oh, I thought, that's great, that. Can I wait with you? Yes, of course you can. Anyway, this bus came. It was an old ambulance that had been made into a bus. And I got into the bus with these. In the bus at the back, there was a fellow with an old conductor's ticket machine. And he went to these four, and he got money off them, coins. And then he came to me, and I just, I shook my head as much as I said, I haven't got no money. Anyway, we got into Tel El Kebir, and I got out. I went into a tent when I knew it was empty. And next morning, I thought, well, I'm hungry and I'm going for something to eat because I'd had nothing decent. And I got into this cookhouse and I sat there eating away. I'd borrowed a knife, fork and spoon and mug from the lads in the kitchen. And these two regimental police come in. And they're looking round, and I thought, they're after me, these two. So just where they were stood at the top near the gate, there was a notice board, and of course, I finished my meal, I left my knife, fork and spoon, well, their knife, fork and spoon on the table, and I walked up to have a look at this notice board, and I looked at it, and they looked at me, and I said, I think you're looking for me, aren't you? And they said, are you Kelly? And I said, yeah. Well, one of them got hold of me and he pushed my arm right round on my back, in the lock style. And I went out, kidding him up that he was hurting me. So anyway, they bundled me into this jeep that had come in, lashed me, handcuffed me to a little rail and took me out. Well, all the lads that were waiting there were all cheering. You think I'd done something brave, but they were cheering, oh, he's back again. And they took me to the guard room. Well, this sergeant had gone home by that time, and it was a new fella. So they would ask me where I'd been, and I said, I'm not telling you, Why? I said, I'm not telling you. Now, the trouble was, they couldn't charge me with being absent. Because the last time they saw me were in the camp, in the garrison. And then when I was caught, I was in the garrison. So there was no proof that they could say I'd been outside of that camp or that garrison. And of course, I kept denying, I've been so pressed. Well, it appeared that when I vanished, like I did, they had gone through all my kit. And in one of my pouches, they'd found about 3 or 4 Tommy gun cartridges. Because I used to have a habit of going on guards and flicking the cartridges out of the magazine and counting them and putting them back in again. And they'd found these. And it appeared that they thought, he's gone out to shoot somebody or shoot himself. And from what I gathered, after I came out of the detention barracks, they had put signs up of me, a photograph of me with the description and everything about me. And have you seen this soldier? Now, I didn't know that was there. Until somebody mentioned to it, well, I thought, I'll have a look, but I couldn't say anything. So, a minute passed, and this officer, he said, he said, why don't you settle down? I said, I'm going home in a few months. Well, he said, why don't you settle down for that time? I said, oh, I might do. He said, just take this piece of paper, he said, and walk about as though you're doing something. But I mean, it was pretty silly. So I did that hung about because I was in the regimental police hut, you see. So I had to keep my nose clean. Anyway, I got... somebody told me that the list was up for demob, and I went and had a look at it. It says, all men of 57 group and 55 to 57 group parade for demobilisation transit. So I got all my kit ready, and I went out, stood there with them, and he rang all these names, blah, 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 blah. No, my name wasn't mentioned. And he said, how many have not had their names called? And I said, me, what's your name? I said, Kelly, 007-0080. Not on here. I said, well, I should be. And I use some bad language. He said, well, you're not on here. I said, well, it's there in my pay book. Look, my number. Well, he said, I can't take you, he says, because I've only got this sheets and them names on it. Well, I went all over that night trying to find out why. Mind you, I should have known, really, because 28 days detention knocks your numbers back. And I thought, oh, maybe they forgot about that, you see, because they hadn't altered the number in my pay book, because it wasn't until after the war, I think, that we got these numbers. I mean, they couldn't give us them before the war, you know, before we left, because they didn't know how long the war was going to last. And we were only on what they called duration of emergency service. Anyway, I had to go back to the hut, and everybody was saying, what's up, like, you know, and I told them, oh, poor old Kelly, you know, giving me all this sad story. I said, I'll find out anyway. And I went to the officer the following morning and I says, well, I should have been on my way home now. But he said, but I can't do anything about it. You better go to the garrison company office and find out about that. Anyway, I went and I saw him and he said, the reason is you've lost six numbers, I think, because of your detention. He said, but don't worry, you'll be on the next draft out. And I was on the next draft out, and I came home in 1947, November. And that was it, finished, except that about a month later on, I got a letter saying that as you are an army technician, you are liable to be recalled in the event of any emergency arising. And I thought, not likely, not this boy, they can have it. And it said at the bottom, so we advise you to join the Territorial Army in preparation. I thought, yes or no, they want me back. They couldn't get rid of me, but they want me back. And that was it, that was my service over.
So they didn't punish you for your period of desertion in Ismailia?
Oh yes, I got 28 days.
So you had two lots of detention, one in Chorley.
One in Egypt. In Gaza, Palestine.
What was that like?
Gaza, it was just the same. It was quite easy. There was a bit of gunfire going on outside, but I lost two more days there, being cheeky. Because it may sound odd, this, but the prison RSM at Gaza was the same prison RSM in Chorley. And his name was Fizakali. There's a place in Liverpool with the same name. And that was his fellow's name. And he was a Maltese. While I were in this place in Gaza, Palestine, this detention camp, some sergeant says to me something, and I said, shut up. Because I couldn't care less. And it, right, put the man on charge. And I went into it, and it was him, this officer, with his RSM, and I said, I know you. And he said, do you? I said, yeah. I said, you were at Charlie, weren't you? He never said much to say, how was. So I got, I think it was 2 days PD one, which was punishment diet one, which was just bread and water, and 2 days prison diet two, which went, you got a little bit of food. And I was bunged into this cell, and it was just, well, it was just a cell, and I had a bed, no lights. And the following morning, when I first done it, the medical officer came round and he looked at me and he tested me, you know. And he says, get that bed out of here. He said, and get one with longer legs. Because the actual bed itself was only that far off the floor.
Out of foot.
You know, the mattress, the sleeping part, well, there was no mattress anyway, it was just the ordinary bed. And that far off the bottom of the sandy sea, and it was crawling with all sorts of things, dung beetles, there was these soldier ants, and scorpions and all sorts, and they came in and get that thing changed. And I got it changed. Well, at that time, in the detention barracks, they were giving cigarettes. They give 2 cigarettes a day to each prisoner. And of course, I didn't get any, but someone stuffed 2 cigs through the little eye hole in the cell door. Yeah, and I said, who is it? But I couldn't get to know who it was. I think it was one of the prison officers that did it. And as I say, I lost 2 days for being cheeky. It was about the kit, scrubbing my kit white. Well, as I say, Ordnance, we didn't do anything like that. We didn't scrub our kit. We weren't infantrymen. We never wore it hardly, our equipment. And so somebody said to me, scrub it, put it in the sand and it'll bleach it. So I did anyway. It didn't do it any good. And he said, you haven't done that. I said, I bloody well have. Ooh, report. And that was it, you see. Well, I came out, and this officer says to me, like I said before, oh, get this bit of paper and just go messing about as though you're doing something. And that was it. That was the end of that.
Can I just go back to that strike, and can I ask you some questions about it so I can get it clear?
Yeah.
You said that it was called about the slowdown of demob.
Yeah.
Of demob.
Mm.
Did you feel discontented about the demob situation at the time?
No. No, I was quite happy in the Middle East. I wasn't worried about the demob. You see, I think that these people didn't like being out in Egypt. Whereas I did. I mean, I might have been just in the minority. But I did. In fact, if I'd have realised it, I would have stayed out there. Because there was a lot of ROC men actually went to work for the Egyptians. I know that all the stores that were in the garrison at Tel El Kebir, mind you, there was quite a lot of garrisons.